Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
And as we're moving towards the election, discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Okay, so we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Where... Cram it! Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go and punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi, friends. It's Amy Guth and Rex Hupke here for another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics.
Nothing much happening this week.
It is the day after the election, and there's a vibe. There's a vibe. That's where we're going to start. Last night was a long night. It was a really long night for a lot of people, and I know for you, Rex, because you have a really lovely column in the Tribune today. You can find it at chicagotribune.com that I think is one of the more rational things I've read in a long time, but certainly today about this topic.
Oops. I don't know what I don't know how I accidentally became rational, but this was bizarre for a lot of people. This was outstanding for a lot of people, obviously, also. More so than I think a lot of pretty much all prognosticators had prognosticated that were out there. So everybody besides Trump and his supporters was taken aback by this, I think, pretty dramatically, and it had a pretty profound impact on a lot of people because they did not see their country in the same way that the people who voted for Trump see their country. And I think that presents us with a pretty massive disconnect, obviously. I mean, we knew the disconnect was there. I don't think we knew it was quite this dramatic. I think there was a sense that his support was far smaller, and obviously it's not. So at about 3 a.m, as I was trying to figure out what to make of all this, I thought, well, I think what we need to do is not try to do what was done to Barack Obama, which was to effectively try to delegitimize his presidency, to obstruct every single thing,
mm-hmm.
to stand in the way of everything, to find no good in anything he did. I don't think that's what we should do. I don't care how much we don't like the idea of President Donald Trump. We have President Donald Trump. Our system worked.
Right.
This was not stolen. It wasn't rigged. You can talk about various voter suppression issues, but regardless,
sure.
This is what it is. Hillary Clinton conceded quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, he won, period. And not only did he win, frankly.
I don't want to say quickly. I wanted to hear from her last night, but.
I thought it made sense. I think that she wanted to. I know a lot of people would have, and a lot of people said, well, if it was Trump, you would be screaming and yelling. And maybe that's true, but I don't know. I thought that there was still, it was so tight. There were probably a few more things. They wanted to see a few more places come in.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
Fair. And also, if I were her, I'd be like, I can't go out there.
Yeah, that could have been it too. And if that's the reason, then I think that's a bad reason. But whatever. I mean, she came out this morning and said what she had to say. But she did call Trump last night, apparently.
She did.
So I thought at least that ended it.
And she came out with great dignity she was made sense of it, and she said, you know, this is where we're at, and I really enjoyed what she said, that this is a country for men and women, for people of all colors and people that have come here for various reasons. And, you know, she really drove that point home that to me that landed in my ears as, you have your map. You know where work needs to be done. And mm-hmm. I've said this on this podcast that we, regardless of the outcome, we wake up on Wednesday and we say, okay, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and get to work.
Right.
I didn't realize I would be up until 3 a.m. with full body sobs.
You didn't know how far your sleeves would have to be rolled up.
I didn't realize I was going to have to cut my sleeves off. But here we go. But, you know, and I was talking to some people last night just on perspectives as this election was going on, or as the returns were coming in. Excuse me. And one woman that I talked to for a little while really had a very interesting take. She was a very spiritual person, and she was talking about that, and she said, you know, I've done my part and everyone has done theirs who's going to, and I leave this in divine hands of to fate and to whatever, and it's going to be dealt the way it needs to. And she said that she personally voted for Hillary, but it may be the case, and she said that she kind of had a sense that maybe this was the case, kind of intuitively felt this way, that perhaps it wasn't bad enough to make change yet, that we needed to actually get a little bit deeper into, and that people needed to have reason to be engaged. She's mm-hmm. like, I see, she said, I see young people, particularly young males, just not going like, yeah, I get it, sexism is bad. Fix it, girls. You know, not doing enough. And she's like, I think we need to actually come together in a very intentional way. And if this is what it takes, then let's do it. Let's go there. And I thought, man, that's a bold and very, very peaceful approach. But I was thinking of her words this morning when I woke up, that like, well, you know, the woman has a point. Like, even if you take the spiritual elements out of it, here we are, right, whether we like it or not. And it might be the case that we do come out ahead here, because we, as human beings, I mean, I don't mean as left, I mean as human beings,
right,
for having had conversation. I mean, I have been on text message threads with so many people today having conversations that I don't know that we would have had otherwise. Mm. I don't know that we would have had quite the depth of conversation that we, and not to say I'm like surface small talk with any of these people, but a lot of people really saying, what do you think, what do you feel, what do you need, and how do we help each other to make sure the next 4 years are meaningful. And then I went to the grocery store and I stocked up on health food because I just felt like I needed to do that. I felt like I need power and I need to like nourish myself, because I think you can agree this has been depleting. The last year has been so depleting. I mean,
even before last night, I honestly, as we got to the end of the campaign, I was just mentally gassed. I mean, I was on a steam. I was, even when, you know, trying to come up with column ideas and things to write about, it was tricky because I just felt like, oh my God, we have to get this over with. This is such a long process, and we've been through so many different things. We kind of know what we're dealing with. Where do we go from here? And there is an element right now, and I think it's going to take a little while for it, it's taking different people different amounts of time, but there is, for me right now, there's an element of like, God, I'm glad that's over. And I'm not happy in any way, shape, or form with the outcome, but I'm glad it's over, and now it's time, as you said, to move forward. It's time
to do the work.
Right. I mean, the process of getting to this point was just sapping all of our will to live, and now here's the outcome. Okay, turd sandwich, but what are you going to do? Now we move forward. And I say that with one thing that I try to be careful about, and I said it explicitly in my column, was I'm a white, straight white guy. I theoretically, aside from being a journalist who, you know, Trump may try to lock up in journalism camps, I don't have a lot to fear under a Trump administration based on his words during the campaign. There are people out there who have a lot to fear.
Yeah.
There are Muslim people, LGBT people, women. I mean, a lot of people with very serious concerns, with a lot technically more at stake than I have personally. But I care about those people deeply. And this kills me because I know that there are people. I've had friends, I had a Muslim friend message me and say he felt like he'd lost a loved one. I mean, you know, it's
I heard
deep.
Someone say that too. I heard somebody I know said on Facebook, I feel like I left the hospital to go home and go to bed and my loved one died overnight.
Yeah. It's heavy. It's heavy for people. And I understand. It's not the same for me. It's never going to be the same for me in this circumstance. But I get it and I feel it and I hate it. And I also know that all we can do is move forward.
Yeah.
And all I can do as an ally to people that are different than me, people that aren't in the situation I'm in, is be there and promise to stand up and fight and keep going. But the fight isn't obstruction. The fight isn't a just denial of Trump existing. Denial. Like there's a not my president hashtag on Twitter today, and I'm like, stop it.
No, stop.
He is your president. Okay,
right.
We are Americans, and unless you want to cleave the country in half and put everybody on one different side and build a wall between it, we are in it together. And like you were saying, there has to be some coming together. Here. I mean, we have to have conversations. And those conversations are just not, hey, Trump supporter, you need to meet some Muslim people, some gay people, et cetera, and get to understand them. It also has to be, we need to get to understand you, because we sure as hell overlooked something here.
Right. Because we don't get you right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I saw there were some people organizing on social media to have a protest tonight in Chicago. And I'm like, for what?
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why? No, I'm not going to that. No, I'm not going to cover it. No. No, I don't. I haven't been like assigned to. Someone will be assigned to, because anytime there's a protest, there's logistic stuff and there's a reason to it. But I mean, there's no. I'm just like, just put your angst into something constructive. And I'm not saying protest is not constructive, because it sure as hell is. But you have to go with a goal. You can't just go because like I'm mad as hell and I want to take to the streets. You have to. You need. Ideally, if any reporter walks up to a protest and says, "What are you? Why are you here? And what do you want?" Every person in that protest should be able to answer that question. Mm-hmm. And we're pissed is just not. I get it. I get that. But it doesn't matter. We have to move forward.
Exactly.
We cannot just be pissed.
Right. And moving forward in anger is only going to keep us separated. It's only going to further inflame the people that voted for him. And I know it was not a popular vote majority. Mm-hmm. She won the popular vote and he won the electoral college, and people are griping about that. And I'm like, look, that's the system. If you don't like it, then that's where your energy needs to go, is to try to change that.
Yeah.
Or if you are mad about the voter suppression things that came up in various states and voter ID laws and stuff, focus on that.
It's only like a day-long train to be an election judge.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Exactly.
Be done.
And furthermore, jeez, vote, man. I mean, 49.6% was the figure I saw. 49.6% of registered voters did not vote. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah,
I mean, come
what
on.
The hell?
How could there couldn't be a more high-profile election?
And similarly, I really had to check my own anger. And anger is a complicated thing, I think, especially for women, because we're kind of told not to have it. It's not okay. When we have it, we're hysterical.
We're very moody.
Right. We're we're emotional. We're moody. We're on our periods or whatever. And so I think anger is a complicated thing, because I think we're socialized really early to not have it as women. But I think it's important to have it, and I think it's important to act on it. I really did have to check my own anger a little bit, though. Some people that I know that I respect intellectually and like, you know, put some stuff up yesterday about, you know, I'm not voting into the system. I'm going to vote third party because I want to vote my conscience, and that's the only way to make change. And it may not work out this election, but that's what I want to do. And I was just like, I woke up thinking about that this morning, and I was like, how dare you put your own fucking feelings above people's actual lives. I got so angry about that. I really did. And I was like, that is their right. That is their, everybody has the right to vote however the hell they want. But I just woke up like with a ball of rage in my chest, and like rage in your body turns to illness and makes you sick and miserable. And I, you know, I've got my yoga mat with me right now, and I'm going to yoga later and I will namaste and satnam and all of that. But I just really was like, God damn it. Who do you think you are? Like someone, especially someone like from a vantage point of great privilege. All of the people I'm talking about are white people. All but one is a heterosexual male. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God damn it. Like, think of someone besides yourself.
That's a big factor in what just happened.
Yeah.
And one of the things, the thing that burns my biscuits, as they say.
That's going.
That's my Dan Rather comment. Is the evangelical vote for Trump was higher, I think, that I believe it was above 80%, and it was higher than it was for Romney or for McCain. Do not ever come at me and tell me how religious you are when you just voted for this guy. I mean, look, and that doesn't look, you, and maybe Hillary Clinton's as bad from a moral standpoint as he is, if that's what you think, whatever. You know, I mean, if anybody should have been doing a protest vote, it's people who call themselves Christians, you know, because Jesus would weep at the decision that was made to put that guy in power.
Yeah.
Just based on his behavior alone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just horrendous.
Right. I saw a couple of people posting about this. They were saying like, hey, as a Christian, they were saying, like, they've, you know, followed the teachings of Jesus Christ, and they understand him to have been a man who loved other human beings and will be voting accordingly and not for Trump, because they felt like he was just not not representing that. And I was shocked by that number, too, that very high evangelical vote. Also shocked by the very high number of white women that voted for him. I don't even understand that one fully yet. I do think there is a group of women, baby boomer-ish and a little bit older, who really could not even see their own bias. I really heard a lot of comments like, well, she just seems like a bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a listener, and I appreciate every caller, and I would like to say I've never hung up on a caller or been disrespectful to any caller for disagreeing with me. I welcome it. And I've not blocked a single person on any social media platform over a political opinion. Truth. And so with that said, I just totally lost my train of thought, too.
You're talking about the person who was saying that they just think Hillary's a bitch.
Oh, right. There was a caller, right. So with all that said, there was a caller who said she should have worn a dress and looked professional. She didn't look feminine.
Bingo.
And I'm like, are you serious?
That could have moved the needle a couple percentage points. Who knows?
I mean, I was just like...
A ridiculous thing to say.
Why are we doing... And then I even started thinking about, like... The secret, not so secret Facebook group, Pantsuit Nation, was asking everybody to, you know, wear pantsuits yesterday. I was like, did we trivialize? You know, maybe we did. Maybe we trivialized it and further reinforced all of this. I know we were trying to subvert it. I didn't wear a pantsuit, but whatever. But like, I know the point was to subvert it.
Right.
But in fact, did we just kind of sprinkle some gasoline on the fire?
Who knows? I mean, I think the... And we're kind of jumping all over the place here, but I think the fundamental problem with Hillary Clinton was that people hate Hillary Clinton.
They do.
And it is baked in for three decades plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this was, in retrospect, I wish I'd written about this because it would seem wise now. But really early on in all of this, when I first started mentioning her in columns, the feedback, the blowback I would get in terms of just angry email was... orders of magnitude higher than anything I'd ever written about Obama. And that's staggering because I would get so much shit about Obama. It was insane. So,
I don't think you ever made it like three comments down without seeing the N-bomb.
Yeah.
Anytime you wrote
about Obama. And with her, it was just like literally worse. And people just flipped out. And so from the very beginning, I was concerned because I saw that and I thought, man, I mean, and I think that there were reasons to dislike Hillary Clinton, and I get it.
Yeah.
I never agreed with the full scope of hatred by any stretch, and I certainly didn't agree with the bullshit she's not qualified line. But that hatred was so baked in that I think it was underestimated pretty dramatically by the Clinton campaign, by the Democratic Party perhaps too. And I think that's what drove a lot of this. I think that mixed with just a general sexism.
Yeah.
And an anger among male voters at the idea of a woman being president,
and a complete unwillingness to admit that might be it,
right? Yeah,
like to even check in with themselves and say, "Am I doing this?
Yeah,
is this about? Do I have a bias? Am I treating her as fairly?" I think there's that we need to really and holy crap, like you guys thought I was really anal about things like media literacy and crap like that before. You have seen nothing. You're about to get like turbo Godzilla activist gooth now. But even our language, I think, reinforced that because it was about hate Hillary, not support Hillary.
Yeah. Yeah, she was evil. I mean, she was. Yeah. There was no.
And the same with Trump. I mean, people were like, "I hate that guy." Not, "I don't support him." I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Oh,
like
I totally am.
I think we've said it on this podcast. Like, that guy's a whack job. We haven't just said, "I don't support him. He's not my candidate, and here's why."
Yeah.
We made it personal and we made it emotional for both candidates.
Mm-hmm. And the emotion on the other side, on Trump's side, won out. And I think even and going back to the white female voters, I think there was an expectation that despite what they might say in polls, that they would wind up breaking for Hillary.
Yeah.
Just be and in an odd way, because that was coming from the people who supposedly aren't sexist, but I think there was a sexism baked into that in thinking, oh, they'll break for the woman.
I agree.
And obviously they did not. And I think whether it's over trivial things like you're talking about, or whether it's just a, you know, a long time dislike, whether I think that the WikiLeaks stuff and the obviously the Comey stuff coming late hurt. I think that
hurt. The Comey stuff really hurt.
Yeah. And I think the thing with the WikiLeaks stuff that made me so mad was you were literally just dumping stuff to the public and letting them make of it what they would, because the media wouldn't really cover it because we don't know if it's legit or not. I mean, it was right. People are going to blame the media for that right. on both sides. But it was a really hard thing to do anything with, because there's no way of knowing. You're dealing literally with stolen documents,
right.
and you don't know the veracity of them.
Right.
I mean, probably the best thing the Clinton campaign could have done was said, yes, these are,
right.
you know, would say either
exactly.
yes or no.
Yes, they are.
Instead,
no,
they
not.
Just dodged it,
yeah.
and I think that wound up hurting them. But
right,
you had
and people don't understand that, because I've heard a lot of people like throwing that around today and a little bit yesterday, too. Like, here's the thing. It's not like refusal to cover. It's like you can't cover. You don't know if that's... If that's legit, you don't know what those are. So
sure.
at best, you could say some documents that were leaked that were alleged to belong to. That's the best you could do, like mm-hmm. the best. And that's really complicated and,
well,
like,
and it's,
convoluted
and
dangerous.
Most, right. And most legitimate news establishments are not going to do that. I mean, somebody could come by the Tribune Tower tomorrow and hand me
a bunch of crap.
Right. A manila envelope full of Donald Trump sexting
Yeah.
emails or something like that, and
you have
and,
no proof that of any of it.
Right. I mean, I can't do a thing with that unless I have some way of corroborating it, and
right.
so that was the complication with that. And I think that because again, look how close this was, so that the amount that it had to swing was not much. So I think that caught a lot of people, and I think the Donna Brazile stuff and her getting the questions, and there was just it all fed into the picture of Hillary Clinton that was developed by the right and has
yeah.
been sort of honed over, like I said, decades. And I think that for whatever reason, combined with, you know, other probably just sort of nonsensical reasons, was enough to drive a lot of white women away from her.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, I think there's two pieces to the sexism conversation. And one is about Hillary. And I think the other one is about what we woke up to, you know, I or went to bed thinking, you know, personally, I went to bed thinking, okay, loudly and clearly, the message has been sent that if you are female, a person of color, disabled, anywhere represented in the spectrum of LGBTQ, if you were born somewhere else, then you do not count as much in this country. That was this like heavy heart sinking feeling that I went to bed thinking that like gutted me. And really, I went home last night in a taxi and my driver was teary. He's like, are you from this country? And I said, I am. And he said, I mean, were you born here? I said, yeah. And he said, I came here because my country was dangerous and I didn't want anything to happen to my kids. And I was like, I have nothing to say about that. Like, I can't, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. Like he had real tears and he was like, what happens to me now? I'm like, well, probably nothing overnight, but you know, be cool and like make a lot of friends. And
yeah, right.
You know, I don't actually know. I didn't know how to answer his question fully. I was like, you are protected under laws. And I know that that's a bullshit thing to say to you because you were probably protected under laws in the country you fled.
Right, right. And we now have had an election choice that has legitimized the truly worst voices
yeah.
in this country. And even if that's a small minority of the people who voted for Donald Trump, there was nothing done to tamp it down.
Nothing done to tamp it down.
And so they are energized, and anybody who falls into the other category right now should feel very uncomfortable. And I think
yeah.
will feel very uncomfortable. And that's sickening. And that goes back, I think, to your point about people voting for him, we're not thinking about anybody but themselves.
Anyone but
there
themselves.
There is no way that you could vote for him and not and be concerned and say
right.
you give a crap about
yeah.
you know, somebody else, because he'd, and look, maybe he will. And again, I do not, I not a clean slate, but I say, okay, let's go, let's try to help him be better.
Yeah.
Than he is, or than he's shown himself to be.
Right.
And let's do everything we can.
Let's help him be the best president he's capable of being.
Exactly. And let's not stand in the way. So I'm not condemning him right. from the get-go.
Right.
I'm not excusing his past either, but you know what I'm saying. So,
yeah.
But every indication up to this point has been negative when it comes to Mexicans, any form of immigrants, Syrian refugees.
Muslims, Jews, right. women.
Exactly. And so, damn it, when you go and cast that vote, how do you live in that little bubble of your own? What right. do you think? If you're only thinking about, well, maybe he's going to bring back my manufacturing job. First of all, he's not, realistically. But yeah. second of all, you got to think outside of yourself a little bit.
Right.
And again, and I will, that the guy that is voting because he wants his manufacturing job back, we have not done enough to acknowledge and understand each other, clearly. Right? I mean, I can't condone somebody who's racist or whatever. But at the same time, it's not fair to say, in my view, simply, you have to come meet us and
yeah.
appreciate us. Not that not us not being me, I'm
right, right.
same as that guy. But, you know, there's got to be some kind of a coming together there. And that only happens by people getting out of their... where they live. And that, so, it, you know, I mean, it cuts both ways.
Well,
people don't like hearing that. But
right. And here's the thing about this, what is great about this country is that if you're frustrated and fed up, you got some choices. And most people in this country have the ability or theoretically have the ability to connect with other human beings and organize their own community.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes a long way. And it's not enough to just sit there and bitch.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was a great outcry from, like, I'm just fed up. And I'm not in that position. I'm not in a town that
right.
had a thriving industry that is no longer working. My grandparents live in a community like that, and I've observed it. And I see, like, hi, that county turned very red very fast last night. And I see that. I understand that. I can empathize, but I can't. I haven't experienced. That's not my experience. I don't know. But at the end of the day, like, as Obama has said, elections have consequences, which means it's not about the individual. It is about the larger.
Mm-hmm.
It is about the collective. And I don't know why we haven't gotten that through our damn heads. And I would at least appreciate some acknowledgement of the vitriol that is unchecked. You know, if someone wanted to say to me that they voted for Trump and they really struggled because they were so in support of, say, economic or whatever issue, but they really struggled to understand how they could give a vote for someone who kicked up this, who didn't condemn and thereby condoned this kind of language. I'm down for that conversation.
Yeah.
I appreciate that conversation. But, like, we've gotten to this place where you have to buy a candidate hook, line, and sinker. Like, even, I think we've talked about this before, like, even one critical word to Hillary and people be like, why are you betraying? I'm like, we need to. That's what the fucking democracy is. We need to think about every candidate critically and make an informed decision. You don't just go, who am I totally 100% all in for? You don't even do that with a fucking date. Like, why, you know, like, why would you do that? You don't choose a life partner that way. You know, like, why the hell would you do that? Like, I don't understand how we've gotten to that point, but that's something I'm really going to think very hard about and figure out how I can contribute to untying that knot and fixing that a little bit, because I think that's a dangerous place that we've gotten to. And I also, you know, I think a lot of people have been saying things today like, you know, how do I explain this to my kid? And I kind of have two tracks to go down on one of on that path. But one of them, my friend's son, she and he are both Black, and the boy said to her tearfully, "Am I going to get shot if that man wins?"
Mm.
He said that to her yesterday, and he's a little child. And I'm like, okay, the babies are internalizing this kind of vitriol. What is going to happen when that little child is an adult? Somewhere that lives in your psyche, that kind of internalized, lesser, otherness, danger, like you're in danger by virtue of being other. That concerns me quite a bit. The other part is I saw a lot of people saying, you know, yesterday was very cute. There was a lot of little girls going to the polls with their moms, and a lot of moms that I know, we were on text, and I was looking at social media, and a lot of like, what am I going to tell my daughter? And I thought about that because, yes, a lot of little girls felt like they had a stake in it because they went to the booth, you know, with the mom and whatever. But I also think, what are we going to tell our sons? It's not enough to just say, this isn't okay because I have a daughter, or this isn't okay because I have a wife or a girlfriend or a mom or whatever. Like, it's not okay because it's not okay. And what are we going to tell our sons? Because by virtue of saying, I don't know what to, you know, by virtue of not talking about what we're going to tell our sons, I think it only reinforces this, okay, you're a dude, everything's pretty much okay, and it kind of absolves the male allyship. And I know I'm going way down the sociology rabbit hole right now, but
no, I think it's a good point. Yeah.
But I think we need to be concerned though. And I know you've talked about your sons before. I really admired what you wrote right after the Brock Turner case. Like, look, dudes, I love you, but if you pull this crap,
yeah, you're out of the circle.
I am not trying to defend you like his dad did.
Right.
And I appreciate it. I mean, I thought that was really valuable, but I've been thinking about this a lot because the glass ceiling narrative impacts little girls because we internalize it, but it impacts boys because they internalize it too, but in a different way, because it becomes normal behavior.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the conversations for each gender are important here. And I think the risk of not having those conversations is equally bad, or equally risky, whatever.
Yeah.
I can tell you what, I mean, we talked to our boys this morning about it. There will be more conversations, obviously, as the days go on, I'm sure. But
what did they think? Did they feel
they were confused,
kind of out of it? Or
yeah, they were confused at why he won.
As we all are, yeah. Little Hupke children.
You are not alone. But
we feel you, Hupke kids.
Basically, what my wife and I tried to say really was we tried to just be honest with him. And mm-hmm. I said, look, I mean, he won.
Yeah.
More people voted for him.
That's where we're at.
I said there were more angry people for him than there were angry people opposed to him that came out and voted. And I said, that's the way our system works. And that means he's the president now.
Yeah.
And that means that we need to respect that. And we need to work with the system
mm-hmm.
now to try to make sure that the things that we feel strongly about and that we believe in are maintained. And I said, what you need to do is more than ever is to be there and to stand up for people who might be afraid,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I said, you know, if it's, you know, a classmate or someone who's a Muslim classmate or whoever, I mean, a person of color, it could be anybody who feels afraid of it. I said, you know, your job, what you can do is to be there and to support them and to not let this kind of fear take over. But you don't disrespect the president. I'm going to criticize him, you bet. But
that's your, I think that's our civic duty, whether you voted for him or not. I think it's your civic duty to criticize.
Yeah. I will be happy if he does something right and good. I'll be the first to say, hey, way to go.
Way to go, champ.
Thank God. You're my expectations were low and you're exceeding them. Let's go.
On your report card, I will say exceeding expectations.
Yes, exactly. Well, and you know,
to be fair, expectations are not high, so it will not take much to exceed them.
Yeah.
There was a map. There's a GLBTQ kind of data collection group that they tweeted out a map today. They were looking at specifically how 18 to 25 year olds voted were in a Logan's Run situation and only 18 to 25 is there to vote, how it would have gone. There's only 5 red states.
Yeah, I saw that, right? Although there's also data that shows how many of that same age range voted third party.
Yeah.
And it was high. Right?
High, very high.
And I agree. I mean, I don't like to tell people who to vote for or how they should vote. And I don't like to criticize the way people decide to vote. I mean, but what a complete cop out that is.
We're full of those today. We're we're only going to look for the future, but let's analyze this shit in the past.
Yeah. But going back to him, imagine this had been Jeb Bush Marco mm-hmm. Rubio, John Kasich, hell, even Ted Cruz, if they had run a campaign that did not have the just hideous sexism, xenophobia, you know, just meanness, general mm-hmm. meanness, mm-hmm.
just meanness,
racism,
bullying. Yeah.
Yeah. If you didn't have that, this would be okay. This would be a lot better. I mean, we may have major policy differences,
right?
But at the end of the,
but it's not. It wouldn't be so personal. Like
right.
if shit felt personal.
And that's why I think there's. I think that's why there's a. I think that's where there's a real breakdown between Trump supporters and Trump opponents. Mm-hmm. Is that the Trump supporters don't get that we are not just being squealy liberals who are irritated about the policy differences.
Right. No.
I mean, I'm irritated. Honestly, there's probably. I'm irritated about what those policy differences were wrapped in, you know,
right.
and what they came with. And honestly, I don't even know what the hell the policies are. I mean, yeah. he didn't really say anything.
He never really said.
And I, that's one thing that I know a lot of conservatives didn't give a crap about the meanness. They were worried that he would get into office and wind up being a liberal, which he still might. I mean, we have absolutely no idea. That guy has flip-flopped on virtually every major issue,
right.
sometimes within like a period of a week or so
on the
campaign trail.
Oh, sometimes in the same damn Senate.
Yeah, sometimes in the same Senate. Right, exactly. So, you know, to me, this was not a red-blue thing.
No.
You know, it never was. And I was never, I mean, look, I respected Hillary Clinton. I was never a huge, like, well, all right. I wasn't, she was not a candidate that I was like, oh, yeah. But... It was awful. I mean, the anger and the meanness and just the unnecessary comments, the unnecessary name calling and crap like that.
Yeah.
That as a human being and as a parent, both appalled me. I mean, I didn't like that. We shouldn't have to explain that to our kids, and that should never win.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
This is sending this to me. The one of the worst parts of this, and there are many, is that this is sending a message. That you can be a dick and win, you know? You can be a complete bully and come out on top. And
yeah.
I hate that, man.
Yeah,
I absolutely hate that because we should be better than that. And and so that's, but again, I think that's the problem because the Trump supporters, they saw it as, you know, us wanting to sort of cast just this liberal march forward into a, you know, European state or something like that. And it had nothing for some, maybe for some people it did. But for, I mean, for me, it was really boiled down to a very visceral. This guy is not the kind of person that should represent our country, period.
Right.
And I don't give a crap what his policy. He could be liberal as Bernie Sanders. And I would have hated him every bit as much because of that.
Yeah.
So I think that's an area where it would have been helpful if we could have reached a little understanding so that
Agreed.
They understood that the opposition was not entirely because we don't give a crap about you, the, you know, person who lost your manufacturing
mm-hmm.
job
mm-hmm.
and has never met a gay person. You know, it's not, I didn't have any resentment towards people
None
like
whatsoever.
That. I had resentment towards a guy standing up and calling people dopes and losers
yeah.
and me having to run my kids out of the room every time he was talking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I resented the accusation like, well, you know, this is about elitism and you just don't like, you know, I mean, someone actually said the phrase to me, you just don't like white trash and you don't want it around you. And I was like, well, first of all, I wouldn't have a family because like
yes.
everybody's got a little redneck in my family. Like
yeah,
the,
right.
like I and you know what? I was hurting over this last night too. Like I have defended the South many times. I am from the South. I have lived in several Southern states and I have said like, hey, you know what? We do not fight bigotry with more bigotry.
Right.
We talked about this last week. Like when we are pretending to be a Trump supporter and quoting them. We're like, we go Southern. It's what happens. It's what everybody does. Like I have said for a long time, we talked about this when Kim Davis, you know, the clerk that wouldn't issue the marriage license, people were like, well, she's some backwoods. Like, hold up. The South is beautiful and filled with people that I love deeply. And many of them have voted many different ways. But like, I was really hurting seeing like, wow, those states turn really red really fast. And it's exactly your point. It was not about fucking policy. And it never was because I don't know what the hell his policy is. It was about, at the end of the day, I am for human beings.
Right.
And I am not for human beings treating each other like shit. Period.
Yeah. And it was last night when it really hit me. I started thinking, okay, what if this had been Jeb Bush mm-hmm. or Marco Rubio or somebody. And I'm like, I'd be like, oh, you know, from a policy standpoint, rats, that, I mean, more than rats, you know, that sucks. Yeah. That's going to affect the Supreme Court. It's a big deal. But I wouldn't be horrified.
Right.
I wouldn't actually be fearful for people that I love and care about.
Right. And I wouldn't, as people have, because I think you probably run into this too. Given the work that we do, people look to you for answers who are outside of journalism. Yeah. Like I had three people texting me about like, explain where APEC fell on this. And I was like, I probably need the day, you guys. Like, give me a minute. Yeah. Hold up. I need to refill my little batteries today. But like, had it been one of those candidates, had it been Jeb Bush or Rubio or Cruz, people that sent me text today saying, can you give me, can you point me to a good source for, I legitimately want to move to another country. Can you tell me where to go for that? First of all, I don't know shit. So I don't know. But had it been one of those, I would have been like, hold up, like, don't go anywhere yet. We got like, just because you don't agree, like, let's stay and figure it out. Let's be stronger. But like, people are texting me that and I'm like, well, I don't know, but I'll Google it for you. Right. And I'll tell you.
Yeah. I mean, people are, like we were saying before, saying that, you know, it feels like they lost a loved one, or feel like their country has betrayed them. People of color feel like their country does not like them, that this was a white supremacist action, basically.
Yeah.
And look, Trump now has every opportunity to do and say the right things and to move us forward. And if he does that, I will applaud him and I will forget this crap. But he's got a lot of work to do and he's got a lot of people to convince. And I don't, all I can go by is what I've seen and what we've seen. What we've seen in this campaign gives me zero confidence.
Yeah.
And I'm a white guy. It gives people of color and other people who he's insulted and demeaned, I'm sure, less than zero confidence.
So. Yeah. I love this country. I love it a lot. And a lot of people in my family have defended it.
Yeah.
My father is a veteran. Both of my grandfathers served in World War II. My father was in combat in Vietnam and is still seeing, you know, health impacts of that due to chemicals he was handling. Like, I take this shit seriously. And it would hurt me if I ever felt like I had to leave this country. And I don't say, you know, stuff like that lightly. I mean, I made a couple jokes on Facebook, like looking for a marriage-minded Canadian husband,
right?
ASAP. You know, I did things like that. But you know, the reality is, people leave their countries when it is no longer for them, mm-hmm. when it is no longer their country, when it is no longer safe for them. And I don't think it is something they do casually. I think it hurts them to do so. Everybody that I know who has left a country has it's still my home, and that's I miss this, and I love to talk to people about food. I love to talk about, you know, what food do you miss? Where do you go when you want that food? And it's usually, I found another person in my community from that place here on the other side of the world, or I learned to make it or whatever, because that's such a visceral thing where you can connect with that place. No one's like, screw it. Glad I'm gone. Done. Nobody.
Yeah, right.
And like at the end of the day, I got female, Jewish, and working in journalism going against me. And then like, I don't feel very wanted today in my land that I love very, very much and want to, you know, live in and have like a life plan that involves being in this country and not uprooting to another. So I don't want to do that. I want to stay and fix it and use yesterday as a roadmap of saying this is what we need to fix. And as you said, it's his to lose.
Yeah.
He could do the right thing because we have no idea what he's going to do. And frankly, last night when he took the stage, he didn't even look like he wanted it. He looked disappointed. He was like, oh, shit.
There's part of me that wonders if he's like, what the hell?
Cause right, and that worked?
Yeah, apparently, according to the things I've been reading from reporters that were connected to the campaign, even the campaign's data, was they didn't think they were going to win.
Wow.
Their internal polling and stuff, they didn't think they thought they had a chance, but mm-hmm. they didn't really expect it.
Here we are.
So here we are, right. And so maybe he's, you know, he wound up with it in his lap. So now we got to see what he'll do with it. I think that the thing that has to end in order for us to be able to move forward is because right now, you know, you're hearing the Trump supporters, a lot of them sort of I told you so-ing.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of gloating.
Right. And gloating, which look, Hillary people would have been doing that today too. I'm quite sure. I don't, you know, I think they're, I don't expect all Americans to be magnanimous ever.
Yeah, I think gloating is an absolutely disgusting habit. I think it is like filthy.
But it does. That's not a left or right thing.
Absolutely,
it's everybody. And
I don't even like it in sports.
No.
I shake hands at the damn end and let's go play next season.
Exactly.
I don't like that. Like we killed you.
Mm-mm. Right. Yeah. No. I think what needs to happen is that has to stop. And we have to meet somewhere.
Absolutely.
It can't be that we are enemies in our own country.
Right.
And I...
Because you know what that leads to? Civil war.
Yeah.
Truly.
That's true. Yeah.
Either
yeah.
emotionally, as we've been doing, or actual.
Right. And I... Look, the Trump supporters, they're fired up, they're happy, and that's good. I'm happy for them in that regard. And if they're not willing to start meeting... people like me and you and others somewhere, I'm willing to extend to take the first step, you know? I mean,
not willing to meet us, then everything we're afraid of is confirmed. Because the message, if you're not willing to meet if you're not willing to meet us halfway, then in fact, it's not my country anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't matter.
But I'm saying that I would not give up until I made.
Yeah.
In other words,
surely,
not, and what I'm saying is I'm not expecting them to suddenly reach out and say, hey guys, let's start to understand each other
right.
better.
Hey so brother, let's have some.
And that's not
chat.
An insult. No. I'm not saying that to demean them. I'm just saying that, you know.
I don't think that's the first thing. If Hillary would have won last night,
right.
I don't think that's the first thing anybody would be doing.
It's like a winning side kind of a mentality. And so what I'm saying is, look, you won. I mean,
you got it.
And look, you know, in all honesty, you won and against a better ground game. I mean, an infinitely better ground game against way more money.
Against a more qualified candidate. There was no more woman. There was no woman more qualified and there was no man less qualified. And look what happened.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
If anything, let's learn some shit from what happened.
Yeah. No, I mean, I give it to Donald Trump. I mean, I don't know what the hell he did. I don't know how the hell he did it, but he did it.
He did it.
And he beat the crap out of someone who should have blown the doors off of him.
Yeah.
I mean, it defied every bit of modern-day political logic, what just happened.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if it was luck. I don't know if it was carefully planned out and we didn't realize it. I don't know what the hell it was, but give credit. And do not say, like, this was dumb luck. I could kind of just say that. But, I mean, don't make excuses for his win. Acknowledge it as a win.
Let's analyze it.
Right.
And
figure
really
out what happened.
Decide what that is.
Right. And let's go to these people that support him and try to develop better understanding so that maybe when I was in high school, I'm sure I had been around gay people, but I was never around an openly gay person. I had no interaction
mm-hmm.
that I'm aware of. I mean, again, I'm sure there were some gay people
sure.
that I knew, but nobody who was out. And I went to college and I was generally... the idea of a gay person was weird to me,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I just didn't, and so it seemed like kind of strange, and that's, then I wound up dating someone who had an uncle who was gay, and I met him, and then I met a bunch of his friends at, you know, family events and stuff like that, and all of a sudden I'm around gay people
mm-hmm.
a lot,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden everything's gone.
Those
dumb, like, young heterosexual guy fears and weirdness and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And that was in the 80s when, you know, it was when the AIDS was a bigger
sure.
deal. And,
yeah.
you know, everything in my head was all screwed up until I met people and I got
until
to
you
know.
Put a human being's face on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that changed me profoundly.
I'm sure.
Profoundly. And I wound up at the paper, I wound up covering LGBT issues for off and on for like 5 years. And, you know, that never would have happened. You know, I never would have had that kind of understanding. I never would have had the ability to cover a community that I'm not a part of in a curious and compassionate and I think, you know, good way.
Right. Well, compassion is the key word. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
It's like what I feel concerned about is the potential of rights being stripped away
mm-hmm.
of my right to decide what's best for my own damn body,
yeah.
People's rights to be married to the person that they love and to die with the person that they love. And that is that I can't even imagine. I cannot even, like, that stuff is so terrifying to me and so bizarre. And And compassion has to be the game here. We cannot go in. You can't make a group of people go away by suppressing their rights.
Yeah.
And you can't force people into submitting to your will. You have to acknowledge that there are a variety of people in this country, and none of us all want the same crap, except for at the end of the day, we all just want to do our thing mm-hmm. and be ourselves and be with the people that we care about.
Yeah. And what a, if you're not willing to meet someone different than you and get to know them and then make a judgment. I mean, look, if you don't like Muslims and then you go spend some time and make a concerted effort to get to know some Muslim people and then you still hate Muslims, well, okay,
that's your issue.
That's your issue. Fine. I doubt that's going to happen. You know, I mean, I think
right.
That's just how we work, you know.
That's how we work.
That's how human beings work. That's how we're meant to work. And so if you're going to be unwilling to meet the people that scare you or that you hate or that you resent, then that's your loss. I mean, that's your loss. I mean.
Then, like, don't stand behind Land of the Free.
Right.
And yeah. Don't stand behind that shit.
Yeah.
Like, what you want is a dictatorship where everybody is the same, and which, you know, for as much as that side has pointed the finger of socialism, like, if everyone's homogenous, that sounds a lot like socialism.
Yeah, exactly.
To me.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't. That's what we have to focus on now, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
are lots of elements of voting and voting rights and get out the vote and mm-hmm. and this, that, and the other thing. But we got to get out and, I think, reacquaint ourselves with who America is now.
Yeah.
And America is a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump for a lot of different reasons. And America is a very diverse mix of people who voted for Hillary Clinton for various reasons. And if we can't kind of sit down and, you know, figure out each other a little bit, then what the hell? I mean,
then we should just get masking tape and run it down the middle
yeah.
and be like, your side of the bedroom, my side of the bedroom.
Yeah. We'll build our damn wall right here, buddy.
Actually, if we could make that wall on that border, we could just like, yeah. turn that right. to be like, some of us are going to take this side of the yeah. country, y'all can take that side.
Can you get Eric Trump to swing that thing about 90 degrees for us?
My friends, there's a lot of work to do ahead. We will keep talking about them, and we will keep writing about them, and we will keep doing the things, and I hope that you'll join us in holding the new president-elect accountable to doing the right thing for our country, for the world, and for human beings. Men, women, children, everybody. Every human being in this country deserves love and care and support and opportunity and access and compassion. And I certainly hope that that's what we're moving towards, even though it feels like we're taking the long road. Until next time, my friends, this has been Amy Guth and Rex Hupke at Guth and Hupke on Politics.